Good morning, everybody. Natalie coming to you live, Spirit and Coffee. Got my coffee here. So this is the first day back on the actual Spirit and Coffee Facebook Live page. And the reason why is because I wanted to go back to my roots. And here's the deal. So when you are a practitioner of the great work, we tend to or I don't know if I want to say we, but I would say we, because any practitioner of what we call the great work, right, in spiritual alchemy, is that we sort of go back to the basics in the beginning all the time. And if you looked at it's almost like in the tarot deck we talk about the Fool card. The Fool card is going back to the beginning, going back and recreating. And having faith, right? So we look at the Fool card in a way that the Fool is sort of like this on a new journey. And they don't really, and it's really about faith, right? It's about kind of having faith that the journey is going to take you on this adventure and that you're going to be taken care of. You don't really, good morning, Rawi. We don't really, say, is it going to work out or not work out when we're starting our journey, especially as the Fool, and not a fool like an idiot. That's not what the Fool card is. The Fool card is you don't know what you don't know, but you're willing to discover and explore that which you do not know. And you have faith that you're going to be safe and taken care of. And it could seem like a naive space or place to be in, but I would talk about going back to the foundations, right? Going back to the structure. This is what we do as spiritual alchemists. If you've set up a solid foundation, if you set up a base for yourself, you can go back to that base. And that base should support you, right? And then you can start to regrow again. So for me, I've been going through some pretty transformational stuff. And I mean in a way that's not tiny. This is not small stuff. This has been such a hard, right, year for everybody. And in through the transformation of that, having to reclaim and re-understand the foundation that I built. We are in a 4 year. Okay. A 4 year is what we call the emperor. The emperor being the foundation. So if you looked at it like the four pillars, if we looked at, let's say, for instance, the pyramids, right? They always say that's one of the strongest structures known to man. And the synergy and the energy that it can actually cultivate is ginormous, right? So we have these great pyramids, and people use pyramid energy all the time. But when we look at the pyramids, when we go and we actually look at the construct of the pyramids, there are four sides to the pyramid. Okay. I didn't even realize this until I got over. Quad D, what's up? I haven't seen you in a while. Good morning, Marcy. Is it Marcy? Okay, I think I'm saying that right. And Quad D, what up? How you been? I haven't seen you in quite some time. But if you looked at the Great Pyramids, right, they're set on it, there's four sides to them. And I didn't realize this. I don't know, because you think of a pyramid, you think of three, right? It's a tri, but that's not the case. So if we did look at the construct, it's a square, right? And the square is, what is that telling us? It's telling us that to set the foundation, you need a solid structure in the form of a square. A square itself is a very solid foundation in which to set some, a foundation on to set your structure upon. So if we looked at that and we applied that to our own particular life, again, this is about applying the processes and the spiritual alchemic processes to our life. It's not about just talking about it. It's about actually how do we apply it. And so, how do we apply it? Well, we set up the foundation. So, if you're working on a specific goal or you're working on something in your life, it's understanding what that foundation is for you. So, again, we can come back to that foundation. Let's say the pyramids fell, right? They would still say, but we have the foundation is still here. It didn't go anywhere because it was solid. And then, so we go back and then we recreate it. And that's a beautiful thing. And we can do that in our life over and over and over again. So sort of what I did this past couple of months with Spirit and Coffee is that, Good Morning Herbal Society, is that I went back and I re-went through the foundation. Now, part of Spirit and Coffee, so you guys know, it's about me sharing also the process that I go through, because a lot, oftentimes spiritual teachers just talk about concepts and principles, not necessarily telling people how they use it in their own personal life, right? And so what ends up happening, right, is they're just preaching what they feel is the right path or the path for the individual. And the reality is that, are you applying it to your life? And if so, how? Like, if you're talking spiritual practice and principle, how is it manifesting in your life? I wanted to know. I want to know. I want to understand how you're applying this practice and principle and what's happening. Are you getting a result? Are you not getting a result? Because that's critical, right? And so oftentimes that's not shared, right? It's just like, oh, do this and do that. And everybody's like, oh, well, they're so peaceful. And they, you know, going, following people they don't really know. Rather than saying, okay, how is this individual applying it to their life? So I share that because I want people to understand that it's, again, it's not just a concept. These things are not just concepts in my life. I don't just talk about them and then, you know, go out and do opposite of what I say. I actually apply them to my life and showing and communicating the results, right? What is the result? How are the results showing up in my life? And then saying, okay, now you go practice, you go apply them to your life and see what results you get. At the end of the day, if it's not getting you results, then why in the world are we doing it? I mean, I guess it's going to give you some result no matter what you try, but if it's not getting the results that you're seeking, what are we doing? You know, we're just like a dog chasing his tail, not to, you know, never to catch it or something. So the reality is how do you apply it? So part of what I'm applying again is going back and devouring that which I've created in order to recreate. Part of the embodiment of an alchemist, or part of the embodiment of someone who works in the great work, is understanding and knowing that you can devour the very foundation. You devour everything that you've created and recreate, because that's what alchemists do. They recreate. They are creators. They understand how to create. So they're not fearful. Good morning to those on Facebook. If you're here on Facebook, say good morning. I can't see who's on here. I hope it comes through if you say good morning. Sometimes the Facebook doesn't show who's on here for some reason, and I'm not 100% sure why. Even if they say hello, good morning, then I don't see it till after. But again, you know, being able to recognize that you are a creator, you are a craftsman, and that you can create and craft your whatever it is you're creating, right? Whatever it is, and that you can recreate the foundations in which you live and exist, and that you get to be the person who does that. So recreating and feeling pretty awesome that I'm, you know, I went to my live Facebook page for the longest time. Of course, Podbean, I was doing Podbean just the same. But I stopped doing Restream and all that. And a lot of it was because it was too much too fast. And that's part of the discernment that we can have in terms of our own personal, right? Well-being and understanding that we want everything all at once most times. We want to be successful quickly, or we want this quickly. And that's part of my story. I'm not saying everybody's like this, but it is part of my story. And there are a lot of individuals that are this way. They want the overnight success, right? And so it's how do my new foundations are unstable for others. And that's very true. That could be very possible. And this is where it becomes pretty life eventually when you're creating what it is that you're creating is not always going to be what everybody else wants you to do. And that's kind of how the story goes. And this is where it's hard to And this is where we get caught up, because oftentimes we understand what's right for us. Like we have a particular calling or purpose, right? Something internally inside us is drawing us to do this thing. And the people around us are not used to that. They're used to us being a specific way. People like consistency. When change starts to happen, people are not too fond of change. It's uncomfortable. They don't typically like it. They want things to remain the same always. And so when you start to shift the foundation or tear up the foundation, well, naturally you're tearing out some people as well. You're uprooting and you're recreating. And sometimes it's uncomfortable for others. Not sometimes, it usually is. Good morning, Shauna. How are you? Cheers to you. And then it's uncomfortable for people. So, you know, Quadi, if you want to just share some more, we can go into some dialogue if you want. You know, if you want to call in, you're welcome to call in. I've never had a conversation with you. I did start taking callers, even, you know, now. Every once in a while, people want to call in and I let them. So you can call in. But again, the alchemic process is recognizing that when we create, when we're unstable, those stable, unstable foundations for others are there, that we're recreating, redesigning our foundation and creating something new on that foundation. So going back, it's okay to go back. And that's what I did. I completely went back. I went back to my home, right, to the where Spirit and Coffee started, right? Good morning, Poetic. And I went back to, I think you were on Facebook and now you came on here. Let's see. Thanks. Good morning, sweets. Yep. And so, again, disconnecting, recreating. Why? Because we can. And in the spiritual alchemic process, or if you're a spiritual alchemist, understanding that the process is always in motion. It doesn't stop. And it's always available to us. But most people don't know how to utilize that. Most people are not aware of how to utilize it. And I was reading this, so I'm taking this pretty awesome course this semester, which is Dreams, Archetypes, and Myth, and Personal Myth, and looking at it, and some of the reading, like the readings already are totally up my alley. Not that the other readings were not up my alley, but these readings are completely connected to the work that I love to do, right? And so part of it was talking about, you know, spiritual alchemy and what it means. And how there were alchemists in the recent past, historical past. And the work itself is very, very, it's important that when people do it, they do it with complete care and patience. And that it's not something to be rushed. Because when you start to work on your spiritual alchemy, right? When you start to do this, it does draw up a lot of upheaval. And you have to be prepared for that. Because again, you know, Quadi, you're talking about the unstable foundations of others, but we're looking at it and saying, how are we responsible? Good morning, Betty. Good morning, Janie. I think Janie's not here. And the foundations and the responsibility that comes with it, because there are sometimes unintended consequences when we do this work that we don't even understand, right? And that's why this information, if you got deeper into alchemy, the information in the wrong hands can go really wrong, right? It's almost kind of like blowing something up. It's think about it as you're making your potion, right? Like, so maybe you're brewing up something and you put the wrong ingredient in and then poof, it blows up. That literally can happen in your life if you are not applying this information with care. So, understanding alchemy, and it's such a huge, vast word right now. Before, people didn't know what spiritual alchemy was, but you're starting to see it come up in all different places. You hear about it all the time. You're going to hear about it more and more and more and more, because everybody's sort of waking up. Now, spiritual alchemy is not a religion. It's not, it has nothing to do with that. It's a process. And really what it is it's the natural process of the world that exists within us. We cannot deny it. It's not something that we could say it doesn't exist. And religion says it. Yes, it does. Are you kidding me? Go out and watch nature and you tell me that you created that. Right? I've talked about that before. We didn't create it. But it's happening all around us. And those processes, as above, so below, as within, so without, those processes happen inside of us. We are the universe itself, but the universe exists within us. And so it's that ebb and flow of the connection between the two. We are interconnected to the cosmos and the cosmos to us. So when we're looking at our life and we're saying, how do we create? How do we create? Like everything's falling apart, right? Everything's up in upheaval. We go back to the foundation. Go back to your basic foundations. And that can be your moral principles, your moral codes, your ethics, your values. What do I value? And sticking to that and then setting boundaries. Anything beyond that is no. No, we didn't create it because God created. Exactly. Exactly. And I think, and here's the thing, Janie, is that most people, well, to me, it's mind-boggling, right? I think the mind-boggling thing about that is, you know, we call it God. Some people call it universe. You know, there's different names, Yahweh. You know, there's different names. We can't really name. We don't even have the ability or authority to name that what we don't understand. Because I say God, it's just easy that way. But it's God is so vast that do we really understand? No. For someone to say they know, I'm like, no, you don't. Like there's a knowing of like, I understand that I'm part of this and that God is within me and God is all around. But to really understand the operation of God, I don't even know if that's the right word to use. We don't, right? We didn't create the trees. They were already here when we got here. You know, we didn't even create ourselves. That was done by this organic process, right? That was created through God's magnificence and art. Like if you think about, oh, that was part of what they said in this writing is that the art, right? When we look at nature and we look at everything around us and we see the art, the mastery, it's just how it's so magnificent. How can someone say that they don't believe? I don't understand. It's like, you know, people will say, well, it's science. Yeah, but there's something else. You can't just say it's science, right? Because what about consciousness? What about the consciousness that exists beyond that, right? There's a consciousness too. There's not just a science. And consciousness is something that nobody can describe or explain. We don't know. We don't know what we don't know. It's almost like the black hole. And I told you guys that I did some charts, right? And some charts to kind of at least give a depiction, at least give some kind of a visual of, you know, kind of how I see it, right? What do I see that the conscious and unconscious mind is telling us? And if we looked at the conscious and unconscious mind, we can say that this unconscious space that exists, that it's so vast that we don't even know. There's things we can't even see. There's things happening that we don't even know about in the cosmos. We look up at the stars, we don't know. I mean, we barely know about our own self. We know about this much about ourselves. We will look at the trees, and I just learned new things about trees. Like, we can't know everything. It is just not possible, right? There's just so much. But when we talk about consciousness itself cannot be described through science. There's no way. Think about dreams. When you're dreaming, right, is it something that you can explain and describe? Sometimes you can't. It's really a weird thing, but it's part of you. You're the dreamer. You had it. It's internally inside of you. But can you really put some kind of a point on it? No, because sometimes we're dreaming and it's just happening and we're just like, what is this? But it's a part of you. So the things that we can't describe, right? Even in quantum physics, they go more and more, they're trying to discover. I don't know what they're trying to discover. And they're like, we don't get it. Scientists don't even get it, because there's a consciousness there that they can't put their finger on, because you can't do that. We're an extension of God, and God lives within us, but we are not the God, right? With a capital G, we can't be, like, we're just part of it. We're just a piece. It's almost like the fractals, like I was talking about the other day. If you zoomed in on a fractal, right, and you went into the piece, you almost get so lost inside the fractal that you forget the whole. But when you zoom back out and you look at the whole of the fractal, you're like, oh my God, all that existed within that fractal, which is crazy. And you can go into different parts and discover, but you start to see the same patterns repeat themselves. So we know that there's patterns that repeat themselves. And in when we talk about Carl Jung, he was sort of talking about the consciousness, the conscious patterns called archetypes. That there were archetypes and patterns of personality, perhaps. And that those patterns of personality exist from the beginning of time. And somehow we embody that personality, those personalities. That we embody those archetypal patterns that are not, we think they're unique, but they're part of the whole. So this stuff gets pretty awesome and pretty cool, because you can just go on for days and down rabbit holes, and you know, you would never know it all. And that's the beauty of it. And I think, as if you were to be a spiritual alchemist and say, I'm ready to go through the process, that you would understand that you know nothing. I know nothing. I tell people all the time, like, oh, you're so smart. You're this. I'm like, no, I don't know anything. And every day I'm rediscovering something new. And every day I'm reinventing myself. And every day things change and my mind shifts and new ways of viewing the world start to arise. It doesn't stay the same. My worldview changes constantly. That's part of the process. It's being able to look at the information and see it from different angles, different perspectives. The parable, I think I've talked about with the monks, right? The parable goes that they were blindfolded and they were touching an elephant and they were told to describe what they felt. And everybody felt a different part of the elephant and they described what they felt. But it was part of the same animal, but they all felt something different. That's kind of how we experience the world. I love that parable. Why? Because it tells us that we, right now, where you're sitting, you're seeing different things than I'm seeing. But is your truth more true than mine? No. Am my truth no more truer than yours? Now, that's a hard one for people to grasp, because we want to be right. We want to be right about our ideas. We want to be right about our opinions. And we want to, you know, maybe force people into a circle when they're a square, you know, or we want to force people into a square when they're a circle. And rather than let people be. Not an easy task, right? Not an easy task, but that's part of alchemy. It's allowing that which is God to arise within all, because God is within all and God will arise within all. And if we can see the magnificence of God and the beauty in everyone arise, not an easy task though. It's just not. It's not, because people, right? We're working with other individuals, other perspectives, and not every single person on this planet understands, right? They don't, sometimes they want to be right. And so an alchemist says, okay, you're right. Who am I to tell you you're wrong? Not my job. It's not my job. I'm not a judge, right? I'm not here to judge. I'm just here to experience and apply. Now, there's a couple of things though within that, because it's like it becomes paradoxical in a lot of ways. So we run into paradoxes all the time with this work. And, you know, as I talk about this work, people expect that I'm supposed to be perfect. I'm like, look, I'm not perfect. I'm human. Don't forget that. I talked about that before. But there's paradoxes. So you'll say, well, you said this, but then this. And I'm like, yeah, but that and this. And then it's like, wait, what? So we would say, yes, you know, don't judge, but have discernment, right? That you can set boundaries for yourself and that you don't have to take shit, right? Do no harm, but take no shit, and set boundaries for yourself if you need to, for your own personal well-being, right? But understanding that you're setting them up not to harm, but to not to harm or hurt people, but to help yourself so that you can get in a mental space of well-being. So there's times that you have to set those boundaries. And it's not an easy task, because sometimes we're setting boundaries with people we truly love and truly care about, but we know that it's not healthy for us to be in their space at that point in time. And an alchemist understands this. It's not about saying there's no wish of harm on individuals. There's more of wish of health in my own well-being, right? So there's the distinction between the two. There's a distinction. Someone who's a light worker will say, look, I need to separate from you. I still love you. I still care about you. And I wish no harm upon you. That's not the point. The point is that when I'm near you or with you, pain is inflicted upon me. And there's things that I can't handle that I need to be able to understand how to work through. And it's a different conversation. It's a different dialogue. There's no vengeance involved. It's a transmutation of the energy and allowing yourself to set the boundaries so that you can heal. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, people should be doing that so they can heal themselves. I'm not going to engage in toxic relationships, right? So think about yourself. Are you going to keep engaging in toxic relationships because you're only hurting you, right? You're not going to change an individual. So what I do as an alchemist is I separate from the individuals or the people or the situations that feel toxic, that I know that I can't change the outcome. And I even put this quote the other day, you can't change it, can't change the world, but I can make a choice. And my choice is to step away. Now, why do I step away? I step away in order for me to get clear about how I'm going to engage that energy again. I transmute myself. I don't ask them to change. I change me. See? That's the difference. Because people in toxic relationships typically are there to try to change that individual. They believe they're going to change and they're not going to change. People don't change unless they really, truly are working on themselves. And they're really the only things that change is you. You change. So you go and you change yourself and you go and you try to engage that energy from a different perspective. That takes thoughtfulness, mindfulness, awareness. It takes deep, deep work and understanding of why you feel like this person is toxic in your environment. There's a lot of things that come with it, right? That's working on the process of spiritual alchemy. Again, practical use of spiritual alchemy. This is not conceptual ideas of talking about it, but working on it, actually allowing yourself to go through the process and experience it in your life. Quad D, I don't know if you're still on here. It's the practice and application of it. If your setting new foundations is causing upheaval in the people around you, you know that you're practicing it because people ain't going to like it. People don't like when you change. They want you to be the same. That's what they're used to. And when you start to change, they go, oh, what? Yeah, but you want it change, right? You want it change, and now you don't like the change that you're seeing. So you were comfortable with things being the way they were before. And then when you start to change, people don't recognize you. And so they make up a bunch of stuff about this and that, and then you were this way before, and that's who you were. And then, no, I never claimed to be any one thing because I'm not. And I'm constantly changing and my perception and worldviews are changing. So again, looking at your life, your worldviews change. The way that you engage certain people changes. And when you start to embody that and work through that, you piss a lot of people off. You can piss a lot of people off. And then you have to separate and you have to figure out, okay, what's good for me? The one thing we can count on is life has changed. Yes. Yes, Jeannie. It sure is. And there's a lot of change. And we saw the big change in when COVID hit, right? That was huge. Nobody, I mean, there, look at all the fear and people didn't like it. And, you know, fear came up in me for at some point, and people didn't know how to engage with it. It was something new. The entire world was shut down. Like, what? The world? Not just like the US or a state or a city, but like the entire world went through this huge transformation, right? And it was timely. Being that we're in the age of Aquarius, it was timely. I mean, there's purposes behind it, and I won't get into all that, but again, change is constant, right? It's the only constant we have, but it's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable for me. You know, I had to change and move environments and stuff, and it wasn't comfortable. There was a lot of stuff that came up. We need to welcome change. We grow that way. Yes, we do. Thank you for sharing. I appreciate your sharing. It's always good to have other voices involved. I'm going to have hopefully one of my friends come on here as a guest. I asked her, but it probably won't be till next month. And she does. She gets on here sometimes. Her name is Katia. Hopefully, she'll be able to come on. And then I don't know Poetic's on here, but I've asked Poetic calling you out. You're like, ah, why Natalie? To you know, come on, you know, people to share their views, right? Again, Natalie doesn't know anything, but I'm willing to accept. The one thing I do know, here's one thing I do know. I know me, and I'm okay with it. And you know, I get called out all the time, and I'm okay with that. Why? Because I'm authentically me. I am who I know who I am. And I get called out and I like, yeah, you're either right or maybe that's something I haven't considered. Right? Always growing, but never taking things personal. You know, I've had some people call me out, say stuff, and I'm like, fine. That's, I mean, those are your feelings. So I look at it and I ask myself, you know, what was the intention? How did I feel with this? Do I feel good, bad, whatever? And then if it feels like for me, if I feel that my intentions were good and I know internally, then I have nothing to fight. There's nothing to fight. There's no fight. If I know internally that my heart is good, that's another thing. One last thing. When you're doing this work, right? And this happens a lot because when you're in a great transformation, let's say you're dealing with a toxic environment and you're changing and you're shifting out of that environment. Yes, we can keep everybody happy. We have to be ourselves. Amen to that, Betty. And you know, it pisses people off sometimes for ourselves, right? People get not very happy, and it's like, well, it's who I am. Like, but knowing thyself, right? Knowing thyself, and you will come to know God. And that's even like in the Bible and stuff. It just really read what Jesus says. And if you're Buddhist, if you read all of the literature and text for spiritual texts from, you know, these enlightened beings and you know, as people say, Jesus is savior, whatever you believe, right? That if you go back to the text, they're all saying the same thing. Know thyself, and you will come to know God. Know who you are. Again, people want to know what everybody else is up to, what everybody else is doing, what everybody, stop it and know you. And when you come to know you, then you start to magnify the things toward you that are meant for you, and the things that are not will automatically sort of filter out. That's the way it works. But you've got to know thyself. And then knowing thyself is not an easy thing, right? Because then it's accepting that maybe we're an asshole sometimes. And it's accepting that, you know, it's just like you, Janie, when you were talking about motherhood the other day, that I absolutely have no idea. And I say that all the time. It's something that I say all the time. I don't know what it's like. And I never will. But I'm honest with myself in the fact that I never wanted children. I know that about myself. I would have had regret. And so for me, having compassion towards, and this is where having compassion towards mothers that maybe had children, that they maybe regretted it. Because we as society will then point fingers at them and say, oh, they're bad people. They're not bad people. because they regretted having their children. That's just part of their experience. But they kept their kids and they still loved them, even if they didn't want them, you know. Some did, some didn't, you know. Sometimes people will give their children up for adoption, whatever. But in my experience, I'm not afraid to say I didn't want kids. I didn't, and I never have. My family's known this since I was two, three years old. I said it at two or three, I don't want children. I'm not going to have children, right? But me, right, having the compassion and understanding that there are parents that they didn't want children and oops, maybe they had children. It happened because we're sexual creatures, because individuals, you know, people do what they're going to do. And I'm finding stuff about my ancestry on certain things. And I'm like, whoa, like, you know, people were just, they have kids. Like, I had a cousin, she had a lot of kids. And did she really want them? I don't know. She probably just didn't really know. She wasn't really educated. And she was just, you know, people were having sex behind closed doors. All this stuff was happening, right? And nobody wants to talk about it. It was a hush, hush. Why hush, hush? This is what happened. Accept it so we can heal from it, right? And that's the point. And so a lot of mothers may be having children and not having that outlet to talk about it. And you know, really just being able to say, I didn't, but I love my kids regardless. You know, it kind of happened. Like, there's people who are like, I didn't want kids and I wanted to travel, but then I had kids. And there's that maybe a regret there. And they don't want to really bring it to the forefront because they're afraid they're going to be judged, or they're afraid that they're a bad person. They're not bad people. They're not bad, right? This is part of the human experience. Everybody has regret of something at some point in their life. And we can understand that everybody does. We're experiencing this human condition. It's not easy. Living as a human is not easy. Knowing thyself is not easy. And then telling people who you are is even harder, because then you're like, now people are going to judge the shit out of me. You have to be brave. That's why I get on here and do this, because I'm like, well, you could be mad, but I told you this is who I am. I don't know what to say. I can't deny it. I can deny it and say that's not me, and then I'd be a total fake, fraudulent. Right? And there's people who do that, and that's fine too. I'm not judging them. They can be fraudulent, but there's consequences with it. So just be honest. Be honest and forthcoming, forthright, whatever you call it. Okay, let's see. Oh, Anita says, we need to be more conscious of our actions and not so much about others. We answer for our actions. Yes, we do. I understand what you're saying about not wanting to have children. Your perception will always be different than a mother that have bore and raised children. Yeah, it's true. Most parents feel that they fall short. Good morning. Yeah, and that's the part right there, Juanita, that I'm talking about, Janie, Juanita. I don't know what you like to be called. Maybe Janie. yes, it's true. That I will never understand it. I won't, and I don't claim to. But I at least have compassion, because I have people around me that are parents, and I hear what they say. And, you know, God bless them. God bless you for having children and raising your kids and being there for you, because that is not an easy task. I didn't want to do it. You guys did it. So I can't even, what I get, it's for me, that was a huge fear, right? I was like, I will fail completely at this. That's what I felt. I would be a complete failure. And I know I would. I mean, it's a responsibility that I can't even comprehend. So this went full circle to something else. But again, it's because you shared. But to those parents out there this morning, you know, kudos to you for being brave enough to raise new starlights and star beings and little spiritual creatures up. That's probably one of the greatest responsibilities of all time in this three-dimensional time space. One which is should be more honored, revered, and there should be an outlet for those individuals to really talk about how they feel. Okay. So I just give you guys a ton of respect. You know, and I think about me and myself and me and my relationships, right, with even with my parents and stuff. And, you know, it has to be hard for them to work with me. I'm not an easy person to work with, right? So I thank God. Another one of me would be really not easy. I'm not an easy individual. It's not. And so, but somebody had to take the job of raising me. Natalie, I can't talk about it. I will get arrested. So again, I don't deny. I'm not going to sit here and deny. And that's not what this is about. This is about being authentically me. I know I'm a difficult person. I know that I'm not easy. I wasn't an easy kid. I'm still not an easy child, right? Because my thought processes are completely, my parents are like, what are you talking about? Like, I don't even know if they're just like, yeah, okay. Natalie's just going to be Natalie. And so difficult to raise a child like me, right? And so just throwing that out there. So for you parents, just love and light in your heart. I know it's not probably not an easy task, but many prayers and lots of love to you guys. And you guys are the true heroes, because you were brave enough to bring into the world beings and stick with them. Everybody on here has stuck with their children regardless, right? So some parents give up, like I said, give for adoption and do all these other things because they don't feel like they're adequate enough to bring the child up or whatnot, or whatever their reason is. But bottom line, Natalie, is you have a mind and you speak it. Yeah, I speak it a lot, right? That's all I do is talk. I'm like, da, 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 da. So there you have it. So many blessings to you parents out there. You know, I know that if you're going through some trying times, you know, even with your kids or, you know, whatever is happening, that just know that you're warriors, you're spiritual warriors. I couldn't imagine. Like, it just makes me cry to even think about it. Just because I know my situation, I know me, and I'm not easy. So it's got to be difficult, right? To some degree. So much love to you guys. That's what I say. You guys are true light beings and spirits. Go, you know what? Go and treat yourself today because you were brave enough to have kids and children. Go treat yourself to an ice cream or something. Like, I deserve this because I brought some star beings into the world, and damn it, I'm by their side regardless of how crazy they are. Lord. Okay, so there you go. One last thing, Natalie, if anyone who wants to talk about their kids, they can sit down with me and hear my stories, and then reaction, I get it, is oops. Yeah, lots of hard work, right? But you guys are warriors because you stuck with it. And that's the beauty. And that's the hard part, sticking with it. Well, maybe not for you guys. For me, I'm like, I think I would have ended up with postpartum depression. I probably would have ended up being a psychopathic mother. People say no. I love how people are like, no, you're so sad. I'm like, no, you don't know me. That's why I'm alone, because I'm like, this is my mind is just like, duh. Right? You got to be a little crazy to do the work I do, I think. Okay. So there you have it. But I love you guys so much. I do. And totally appreciate you. Later, Spirit. Oh, bye, Quad D. You were still on here. Should have called in. Have a great day. And I will see you guys tomorrow on the Spirit and Coffee platform. So much love. Lots of hugs. Bye-bye. I'm tilling. Sorry, I'm still on here on the podcast. Okay. Well, Quadi, I would love to see you show up a little bit more and maybe call in one day. I know that you have been going through a transition for quite a long time, and would love to. Tiles in the bathroom. Oh, I'm tiling. Tiles in the bathroom. Okay. Well, there you go. Have a great day. I will one day. Good. And love to just hear your thought processes and you to share and at least have maybe a space where you can just let it all out, right? That's the space that you have, a home to say it all, and there you go. And hopefully have an audience. All right. Well, you have a good day, Kwadi, and anybody else who's on here, love and light, and I will see y'all tomorrow. Bye-bye.